I'm going to bring JD in right now, John Dickinson. I know, I'm assuming you were listening to that, JD. I mean, the one thing that I think needs to be stressed is, without getting into too much detail, it's going to be very hard for the Warriors to re-sign DeMarcus Cousins.
And they've said at a number of different points here in the early going of the season that it's going to be almost impossible, that it can't be done, that they know it's a one-year thing with DeMarcus, that DeMarcus knows it's a one-year thing with them. Look, it's not impossible, but you're talking about having to renounce the rights to just about every other player on the roster and completely start over with a new core.
Yes.
So I don't think that's in the plan for the Warriors at this point in time. At this point in time, the plan is figure out a way to get everybody on the same page enough and get healthy enough to where they can find a way to play to try and get this third championship.
So I get the argument that every team goes through this and they'll get over it, and they might. But the result last night, it's just not a coincidence, right? I mean, to me, last night's game shows there is something going on.
Yeah, definitely, and it shows that it's going to take a while for it to be fixed. Like, I think it can be fixed. I think last night was just the worst of all possible scenarios, honestly. It was, you're playing again without Curry. You had Draymond come out and shoot around and make his statement. It was the first time yesterday that him and Durant had talked. Everybody was going to have all eyes on them. And that's going to continue to be the case. And then you're facing the team that you know, you knocked out in the Western Conference Finals, that's playing a little bit better, but you're doing it without Curry. So I think it was kind of a perfect storm where, you know, I don't think the result really matters last night, to be honest. I know a lot of people freaked out at the result. It's like they've played that game a ton of times without Curry. But the result, coupled with everything else that's going on, it just means that now it's going to take a little bit longer. You know, now it goes to Saturday, and all eyes are going to be on how they play in Dallas, and all eyes are going to be on how they play in San Antonio. So to me, and they got a lot of games in a short period of time coming up here. So at some point, they're going to have a game or a moment in a game where things just work, things just click. It kind of looks a little bit like the old Warriors, and you move forward. I'm not sure that some of the things that were said between Draymond Green and Kevin Durant, I'm not sure that they could ever be truly accepted and gotten over, but I do think there's a common ground that can be found to get through this season, and I think right now that needs to be the focus. How do you get through this season to win a championship? Forget about who's staying and going and Clay and, like, yeah, that all is on the table. I don't think any of that is a lock as far as who's going to return, who's not. But that's a separate problem from the immediate problem that this team has, which is trying to get everybody on the same page and healthy to win this season, while you do have the four All-Stars plus Cousins coming back.
JD, you are on point, and I agree with everything you said. But when we hear the head coach use this word that I only hear in church, spiritually, how do you monitor that, and why do you think he went there? What did he mean with what I deem a heavy word?
Because their spirit's broken right now. Because, I mean, look, Draymond Green's not in a place where he wants or needs to be. Kevin Durant's not in a place where he wants or needs to be. It impacted Klay Thompson to a point where he reportedly spoke up in the locker room when the other two were getting into it. So it's affected him. You've got Stephen Curry, who's not playing right now, and I'm sure he believes that if he was playing, in his heart of hearts, he probably thinks that all of this would be tamped down because the game would have gone differently. They would have been up 10 or whatever. He would have been the one with the ball in that situation. And look, I know it's not about that specific play. It's about, and it maybe would have popped up down the line, but I just think it affects everybody. Iguodala's commenting on it. Sean Livingston was the only person that commented on it after the game when it happened Monday. All of these role players that have to fit into a box with how they play, you know, it changes their comfort level. So when Steve Kerr says that, he's absolutely right. Even DeMarcus Cousins is somebody that, you know, he's on the sideline talking to Draymond Green and you know, he's talking to Durant. He's trying to play peacemaker. Think about that for a second. You got DeMarcus Cousins playing everything's out of whack. And the one thing, Matt, that we talk about a lot when we do shows or when I'm on with you guys on the pregame and the postgame show, one thing that I've noticed, when the Warriors get out of whack, whether you take one guy away from their rotation, whether you take, something is just off where somebody's not feeling right or looking right or something's going on, they get completely out of whack, far more than you would think they ever should for a team that still has as much talent as they do. The fact is, though, that's just the way they operate. It's a part of it, and I think Steve Kerr knows right now it's broken. There's a long season to try and get it back, but it needs to be fixed, and I think acknowledging the elephant in the room is the first step toward trying to get it fixed.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. I mean, if Steve Kerr comes out after the game and says, no, we just didn't play well, that actually would have bothered me more than him saying, because he knows it's plain as day and it's in front of everybody's face. Let me ask you this. Draymond Green's under contract for the rest of this year and the rest of next year. You think there's any way he's re-signed by the Warriors at the end of next year?
Yeah, I think it could happen. I do think it could happen. I don't think it's impossible. I think a lot can happen between now and then. I mean, I always say this, look, that's what, almost 2 years from now? Well, all you got to do is go back, almost that length before, and that just goes to show you how time can change over a specific period of time. It seems like that's coming up relatively quick, but, maybe they win the championship this year, and Kevin Durant leaves, and they decide they're going to play it out next year at Chase Center in the first year. And let's say maybe they don't win the championship, but they get to the finals and lose, or a conference finals, and maybe there's another young player that they've signed along the way, or they make a move, and they feel that core still has something to offer. Now, do I think he's going to wind up getting a max deal? No, but I do think circumstances change. I wouldn't say today he's definitely not re-signing in 2020. I think it's just too far away.
JD, I got home, and one of my dad's favorite players is Klay Thompson. And when you look at Klay's stats on the season, I was talking to Stein, he's averaging 21 points. You're like, okay, everything's fine. But when you look inside the numbers, just his percentage from three, and he just hasn't, to me, had that game or games to where he's put it together back-to-back. How would you judge what you've seen from Klay Thompson this young season?
Yeah, I think he's been okay. It's been up and down. I think he has had some individual games. I think you're right. The consistency hasn't been there. The one game in Chicago is the one that stands out. But I think the other thing you got to keep in mind with Klay is he's a great player and a great shooter and a really good defender. Klay is still a guy where it's hard for him to, okay, Curry's out, now I got to get mine. Like, it just, I think sometimes as fans and in the media, we all think, well, Curry's out, now Klay's got to be, 15 for 22 and score his 32 points that way. And instead of getting 20, it's got to be 32. And it's just going to look more efficient. No, the reality is Klay Thompson and his ability to have the big games that he does have, a lot of times it's predicated on the attention that Curry and Durant and others get. It isn't as simple as they need more from Klay. You know what I mean? And I think often that's what it gets kind of, when one guy goes away, you start to look at the other guys like, well, somebody's got to step up. And I think, yeah, that's true. But you have to understand that the way you're getting those shots, the way the offense flows and everything is different. So it's not as simple as just saying, go get yours now. It's still got to be in the context of what they're trying to do as a team. And look, I'm not worried about Klay Thompson. I think Klay Thompson's going to be fine. I think we're going to look up at the end of the season and Klay Thompson's going to have a similar year to the years that he's had the last couple of years. He's just too good. I think the stats will level out for him. But yeah, I get where you're coming from a little bit on that, Goo.
JD, thank you for joining us. Really appreciate it. And I think I'm going to drop dime on your bowling prowess at some point before the end of the show.
That was average. It's average. You can pump me up a little bit, but it's all right.
All right, man. Have a good one. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, you got it. All right. Got it.